Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Hey, there I am. There we are. There we go. All right. How are we doing tonight? Wednesday night. Officially almost over the hump of the week, right? Over the hump. I know this has got to be the highlight of your guys' summer, right? I mean, come on. Summer camp? Yeah. There's nothing better. I know it's one of the highlights of ours this summer. It's so great to be here. Love being here. Hey, what was your favorite part of the day? Just what did you enjoy doing today? What did we do today? Water. We did swimming. We did some swimming time. Anybody paintball? Anybody got some good welts? Anybody got some battle scars? No? Too good. In the head? Oh, yikes. You guys are all yelling at me like you're saying something really important. Tubing! Of course, tubing! Tubing, who tubed? Yeah. Anybody fall over? Anybody fell off? Yeah, off the tube? Nap class. Anybody enjoy nap class? My daughter Ava / Stella loved nap class. Ava loved nap class. It was so good. It was so fun. So we are loving it right now. And right now it's so fun because at home, back home, my youth group is getting together and we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So good. Anybody else go to youth group usually on Wednesday nights? Yeah? It's fun. I love that our leaders right now are leading that, and you guys are here. We're kind of like this one big youth group. This is a lot of fun when we get to come together from a lot of different places, a lot of different groups, a lot of different churches, a lot of different areas. I want to know this. Who thinks they traveled the farthest to come to camp this summer? Okay. Brody. Florida? Anybody further than Florida? You came from Mexico to be here this week. Well, do you live in Mexico? Not Illinois. Not quite Mexico. That's right. Where were you? You were in Cyprus. All right, you win. Arizona? Wow. You guys love that you keep coming back each summer. I love it. Ohio's not that far. It's great. It's a terrible state. Terrible state, but it's okay. All right. Let's get going. Let's get diving in. Questions for me. Any questions to get to know me a little bit better this week? I know it's not about me, but I want you to make sure that you feel like I've answered some of the questions you might have about me. Right here, Pink. What my middle name. It's a great question. Yeah. It's pretty personal. I have no problem. My middle name is Troy. Troy, like. Yeah, strong, like the men of Troy, like the Troy, or Troy Bolton, very different, but yes. Anybody else's middle name Troy? No? Troy, not Joy. Yours is? Oh, no, you just got a question. All right, never mind. Next question. We'll go there. Yeah, good try. I wasn't born yesterday. Let's go. No, there's so many. I was trying to pick people I haven't. Yeah, right here, I think. I haven't picked you yet. My favorite parable? Ooh. That's a good one. Favorite parable in the Bible? I've never been asked that question before, actually. What is a parable? Oh, good question. What's a parable? A parable is a short story used to exhibit a larger story, a larger purpose, right? Jesus uses these a lot in his teaching and stuff. That's a great one. I think the lost sheep, probably. The 99, leaving the 99 to find the one is powerful. All right, we got time for maybe one or two more. One. She's just sitting so nicely with her hand raised and her hands in her pocket. Yeah.
What's one of the funniest things your daughters have said?
The funniest things my daughters have said. Well, I'll give you one just today because they're, well, she, I guess Ava doesn't really talk yet. She is full of funny one-liners. But today, my wife was talking with her and asked her, what does daddy do? Because we talk sometimes about like what daddy's job is, what I do for a living. And she, you know, my wife asked, what does daddy do for work? And she said, youth pastor. And she went, yeah. What does mommy do for work? And she sat there for a second and she said, try to get me to go to sleep. So that's my wife's job, is to try to get her to go to sleep. And then she asked, who's your favorite person? Who are your favorite people? And it's always grandma, grandpa. She calls her Miley and Pop. I don't know where Miley comes in. That's grandma for her. But it was just funny in the moment. Like, she thought about it for a second. What's mommy's job? Because she works from home. She's a stay-at-home mom, which is a full-time job, let me tell you that, with our two. But she said, you try and put me to sleep, which is funny, because it is really a job to put her to sleep. Let's do one more. We got to do a guy. Josiah in the back. Oh, yes.
What's your favorite book of the Bible?
Good question. Favorite book of the Bible. Why? Oh, I do love James, which is interesting that that was the topic, because I didn't pick that, believe it or not. Camp gave me James this summer. But I love James, and I also love Hebrews. I think those two are just two really good, solid, foundational books. But I also love going through the Proverbs. And it's fun because the Proverbs is set up so that you can actually read one a day for a month, and you can start over because there's always such good stuff in it. So I would challenge you to do that as well. So New Testament, I love James, I love Hebrews, but in the Old Testament, the Proverbs are so good, and it's fun to read about David and some of those books as well, early Old Testament. So let's do this. Let's keep going. I got a couple questions for you, a couple tonight, actually, because we've got a couple things to go through before we dive in. First question, where did you see God at work today? So in what ways did you see? I want you to really think about it. I want you to really think about where did you see God at work today, because you can see God in a lot of different ways, and I love that, but I really want you to think, like, where did you see God at work? And maybe it's God at work through somebody else, God at work through something that happened, an interaction, or something that you did or you felt in your heart, whatever it might be, but where did you see God at work? Yeah.
And my one-on-one with Hannah, she really
understood
me.
That's awesome. Your one-on-one with Hannah. Good job, Hannah. Wherever Hannah is. Right here. Bullseye, and God was at work. Thank the Lord for bullseyes on archery. Let's see. We'll go right here. Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's good. I'm glad that the Lord is speaking. That's cool that you get to see and be revealed some of that stuff through what we're talking about. Let's go right here. You prayed that you would win. Okay. And you won. So it can't work. Okay, we can talk about that one later. Yeah? Wow, that's a good friend move right there. I love that. So cool. Right here. You. The devotion this morning? Love it. I love it. So God was speaking to you even through devotions this morning. That's so good. So good. In the back, the red shirt. Oh, sorry, you both have red shirts. We'll do both of you. Yeah, one right here in front. That's cool. Good sportsmanship. God's at work when good sportsmanship happens. That's true. Very true. Other red shirt. Cool. Tubing, nobody got hurt. Let's go right here. That's awesome. That's awesome. Good questions in cabin time. Seeing cabin people in cabins asking good questions, wanting to know how to share the gospel and wanting to grow in their faith. That's so good. The counselors, yes, the counselors, we can see, good job, counselors, you can see the Lord moving in counselors, it's so good, the counselors are awesome, yeah, good job, counselors, let's do a couple more, I love it, so many hands, I wish we could get to all of them, but it's not time, red shirt, right here. Okay, so the fact that you didn't hit somebody is good. That's good. Okay. Right here? What's that? The nurse was able to help you and heal you when you got hurt your leg. That's so good. Okay.
We'll do one last one. You've been holding your hand a long time. Yeah, what do you got? Where do you see God today? That is awesome. Praise the Lord. Bringing him closer to his sister during free time. I'm assuming your sister's here, because that'd be hard otherwise. Oh, called out. You got called out just now. Yeah, stood up. That's awesome. Sister, brother, good for you guys. Hey, God is moving. God is at work. I hope you see it. I hope you're looking for it. Okay, that's really cool that we got to see that. So another question I have for you, because we talked about this last night, right? We talked about putting our faith into action and doing something about it, right? And so I want to know, and this is not, again, remembering that main most important thing, right? Our acts and our deeds are not what saves us, right? And we're not being boastful about those because I'm asking you to share some of those things, okay? But I just want to know, what are some ways that you actively attempted to put your faith into action and serve someone today? Are there ways, are there examples that we want to share that we were able to serve some, or someone served you, if you'd like to brag on somebody else instead, that'd be really cool. Yeah. Nice. Good job. Well done. Taking care of dishes. That's cool. Yeah, over here. That's awesome. Told you had a good job. You encouraged you. That's so good. I love that. Yeah. Wow. Friend cooked a marshmallow at the fire for s'mores. Good stuff. Served you that way. Back here? Was that your job? Well, hey, good job, though. Way to serve other people still, even in that. Yeah. Kendall's cabin helped you pick up your dishes. That's good. Right here. Shh. One more? What'd you say? I'm sorry. Helped your friend with the chore in the morning. Way in the back. I didn't notice that. Yeah, they sat in the back row of chapel this morning so other people could have a chance to sit towards the front, even though they weren't one of the first in. That's really cool. Way in the back there. Bought his friend a root beer. Look, talk about selfless serving. Used money that could have been yours for a root beer, and it was a friend. Yeah. Nice. Cool. Nice. Awesome. I love it. And then right here in the front. We'll go one more right here in the front. Nice. You use your free time. Hang out with friends. Maybe they did things that you wouldn't choose to do, but you chose to do that because they were friends. That's good. I love it. Hey, I saw some of that. It was really fun to witness and experience you guys putting your faith in action and serving those around you. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to actually start tonight. It's another sort of game. Okay? It's a game, but it's going to be like a trivia game. I'm going to test your knowledge, but it's a very specific type of knowledge. All right? Are you ready for this? Is anybody, and this is shameless. Okay, shameless. Anybody in the house a fan of a certain Justin Bieber? Okay. And proud of it as well. I love that. All right. Here's what we're going to play. We're going to play a game. It's called Psalm or Bieber Fan. And this is what's going to happen on the screen. It's going to be an everyone playing at the same time game, right? So what's going to happen is this. You're going to see a quote or a phrase of some sort, and you have to decide whether it is from the Psalms, the book of Psalms, or it is a tweet of a crazy Bieber fan. And you might think, that seems easy. Wait till you see some of them, all right? So that's what's going to happen. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off this game, and if you think it's a psalm, because we stand for the Bible, right, you need to stand. If you think it's a psalm, you need to stand. If you think it's a Justin Bieber tweet from a fan, a crazy fan, you need to remain seated, okay? And we're gonna see how many we can get through here. We're testing your knowledge, testing your trivia knowledge on some certain areas, all right? You guys ready? You know how to play?
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's see the first one. He's amazing and he loves us. If you think that is from a psalm, then you stand up. If you think that's from Justin Bieber quote / tweet, it's a tweet about Justin Bieber, stay seated. Psalm, tweet. All right, let's see what it is. It's a Bieber fan. A lot of you got that one right. All right. Let's see the next one. My heart yearns for him. My heart yearns for him. Are these? They're playing off of the every other, I see. Or maybe you just think this is. Okay, let's see what it is back in the back. It is a song. It's a song. Nicely done. Okay, so far, you're doing okay. Let's see the next one. He shines perfect beauty. He shines perfect beauty. I promise you, they're not always every other, so I don't think, unless they put them every other in this game. He shines perfect beauty. Psalm Bieber fan. Let's see what it is. Bieber fan. Don't cheat, you cheater. Don't cheat. All right, let's see the next one. I love him for his heart and his kindness. As if people know Justin Bieber personally when they're tweeting these things. Do we think it's a psalm? Because we're talking about Jesus, God, right, and his heart and his kindness, I hope, or Justin Bieber tweet. See what it is. It's sad, but it's a Bieber tweet. All right, let's see the next one. He carries me, oh wait, I'm sorry, he is there for me when no one else is. Psalm, Bieber fan, don't cheat and look. Don't cheat. I know they are. I see them. God sees them. The Lord knows. All right, let's see what it is. Justin Bieber is there for us whenever we need him. Is that the last one? Oh, there's more. He carries me through hard times. Again, he's perfect in beauty, so it could be the same. You never know. This is sad. Psalm, Bieber fan, let's see what it is. Psalm. Psalm. How many more we got? That's all of them? Okay. So, anybody get them all right? Got them all right. Okay. Shh. Whether you got them all right or you got zero right, it's a little bit concerning, isn't it? Isn't it a little bit alarming that some of those were hard to distinguish between a psalm and a Bieber tweet? In my mind, that is. So you guys did pretty well. You did fairly well. Your knowledge, your trivia knowledge seems to be fairly high, right? It's specifically when it comes to Bieber or psalms, okay? That was fun. It was funny. But you're probably wondering why we played this game, right? Yeah, why? Thanks. While we're talking about trivia knowledge in that, and there's kind of a fun thing, tonight we're going to be talking about this idea of wisdom. And it's kind of a carryover into what we talked about this morning, but this idea of wisdom is going to be kind of where we're focusing on tonight. And I know you're a smart bunch, you're a smart group, you have lots of knowledge now based on the game that we just played, but I'm curious of your level of wisdom. And I wonder how many of you even knew that there was a difference between knowledge and wisdom, because there's a significant difference between knowledge and wisdom. God and James in his letter that we're going to read tonight calls us to have and seek out not necessarily knowledge, but he calls us to seek out wisdom. Okay, wisdom is what it is that we're supposed to pursue. So tonight's passage is all about, there's two different kinds of wisdom that are out there, specifically in this passage. We're going to unpack some elements to godly wisdom versus worldly wisdom. Godly wisdom versus worldly wisdom. Before we do that, we're going to dive into Scripture, so we need to pray together and invite the Spirit here with us. God, thanks for this time. I pray now that you would speak to us and be here. Would your words be spoken? Would we dive into your word? And as we do that, would it find our hearts? Would it find the ways that you want us to respond and to act accordingly? I pray that your word would go out and it would be found in where it needs to, in the areas of our heart. Give us good focus. Would we give you all of our attention? No distractions tonight, but would we give you our best in our listening and then in our doing based on what it is that you're calling us to do tonight? In your name we pray. Amen. James chapter 3. We're going to finish up chapter 3 here, all right? We're going to finish up chapter 3 tonight. So if you want to open up your Bibles, James chapter 3, verse 13. 3:13 is where we're going to go. We're going to read about two kinds of wisdom in the house tonight, two different kinds of wisdom. Let's read together starting in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Like I talked about earlier, this is kind of a carryover in some ways from this morning. Okay, this morning we talked about how it's important to act, right, and to tame the tongue a little bit, and there's wisdom in the ways that we spend our taming our tongue. But there's also now James in this, who is wise among you, is how he starts. He's asked the question, who is wise among you? Pretty much what James is asking is, he's saying, prove that you're wise, right? Prove your wisdom. Prove your level of wisdom. How? By living a godly life. So how do we prove that we are wise and understanding? We prove that by living a godly life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So there's another kind of equation progression kind of thing we're going to look at. This can be on the screen. Another thing, like it follows one another. It leads from one thing to the next, right? The verse says that wisdom, if we kind of deconstruct it and go backwards, if we're seeking out wisdom, right, and that's what our goal is, wisdom, if you have that, when we find that, a godly wisdom leads to humility. If we have wisdom, in turn, we become, and we know that that's what we're called to do, is to be humble. Which leads then, if we're humble, what leads to good deeds, and even in this passage, once again, a good deeds, when we do good deeds ongoing with a faith attached to that, leads to a good life. Okay, that's kind of the progression that we see here and that we're going for, that we're going after. If one truly has wisdom, if we truly have a godly wisdom, it will lead us to a level of humility, and if you're humble, you'll recognize that the good deeds have been prepared for you to do, and you will walk in those. And if we all know that if we walk in those good deeds, we will then have, in turn, a good life, right? So how do we prove that we have wisdom? How do we live this wisdom out? It says that we show our wisdom by living a good life with deeds done out of humility. Then people will watch, and they will see your wisdom. See, the truly wise, understanding person, okay, if you're truly wise and understanding, their faith, your faith in God, will lead to selfless works by serving others, right? A truly wise, understanding person, their deeds will lead them, or their faith will lead them to selfless good works in that way. Remember what we started with in some of the background of the book of James as a whole. James, specifically, this is his bread and butter, right? James, this book as a whole, was written kind of as a wisdom literature, right? A bunch of wise thoughts, wise practical sayings and thoughts in a letter form. So James, specifically this passage tonight, is a valuable guide today as well on how to live both a fully human life, because that's what we are, right, fully human, but also a life with godly wisdom, which is what we're called to live with. James, he alludes to the fact that a wise person, if we're truly wise, we will exhibit a godly kind of skill in the practical matters of life. In the practical things of what we're trying to accomplish and do, we can have an ability to have a godly kind of skill because we're wise, that to live wisely is to act with humble integrity. And he also reminds us, I love what this says, he also reminds us that wisdom works, right? Wisdom works. But there's two ways of this work, right? The definition of this works that we've talked about already, but I want to reiterate again. Wisdom, the wisdom of God works, right? When we have a godly wisdom, it works. And not only, so it works like the definition of when something works, right? When it functions correctly, that's what we're seeking after, right? When it's something that we are looking for, right, it's good. It's a positive thing. It works. It sustains. It is what we're seeking after. It works. It's successful. But wisdom also, it works in the sense of, in the definition of, it's action-oriented. Wisdom is action-oriented, right? That's the main difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom works, right? Knowledge is primarily intellectual. If you have a lot of knowledge, that's great. That's going to get you into a good school. Or it's going to get you far and possibly far in life when it comes to, like, academics or things that you need to be really skilled knowledge-wise in, right? But the difference between knowledge and wisdom is having knowledge, but also acting upon that knowledge. It's not only knowing what you're supposed to do, but also acting and walking in that knowledge in the ways of Christ, right? Wisdom is having knowledge, but also acting upon the knowledge and doing something with it. It's that second level that makes all the difference. All the difference. Jesus, again, the true and ultimate example of both wisdom and humility, he knew just how to answer those who questioned him, right? Or who came back against him, but he always did it in humility, pointing everything back to the Father, okay? He was knowledgeable, he knew all things, right? But he was also wise because he knew how to, in humility, with integrity, answer all people. Jesus' example of wisdom is where we can stem from. He was set apart from the rest of the world in that regard. He was different, and that's what we're called to. With our wisdom, a godly wisdom is set apart from the world and different, very different from sometimes what the world says wisdom should be. That's the positive side to wisdom, right? That very first verse. The wisdom we're called to be striving after, but unfortunately, there is a flip side, and James talks about this in the next few verses as well, so we're going to go there next. Verse 14, because there's two kinds of wisdom. We alluded to the first. We're going to hit on the second one now. Verse 14, but if you harbor bitter envy, are we okay? Okay. Verse 14, come back with me. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. See, there's another type of wisdom. See how it's in quotes, which is interesting and kind of humorous as well. And that's not from heaven. The worldly type of wisdom is not from heaven. It comes from bitter envy or selfish ambition, selfishness. Right? And a dark and a not good heart, right? What does that even mean? Selfish ambition. A couple, again, definitions here. Selfish ambition is a divisive willingness to split groups in order to receive personal power or prestige. The ability or the willingness, I'm willing to go against everybody else and put them down so I can find the reward for me personally. This type of wisdom, often found in our hearts, and stems from unrepentant hearts, right? And a desire to fulfill fleshly desires. When we have those needs or urges first and foremost, and we're looking to those first, that's where some of that comes out sometimes. And it's interesting, again, the wording that James uses, okay? Maybe you see this, and if not, I want to unpack this a little bit. This type of wisdom, James says, is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. To me, that's interesting because to me, it seems to start out bad, but get much worse the more adjectives he uses, right? To me, again, not only is this type of wisdom earthly, which means it's a low level of negative, right? Sure, it's not heavenly, it's not godly, but it's earthly, and it's often what we do here on earth. It's somewhat normal, right? Unfortunately, it's earthly. But then he says it's also unspiritual, one level deeper into the negative from what I can see. Not only is it not heavenly, but rather earthly, it's also not kind of any spiritual value, it's unspiritual. Lastly, it's not just earthly, it's not just unspiritual, it's straight demonic. That's powerful wording and verbiage to see, right? This type of wisdom that we often see or exhibit or experience is just straight demonic, which is bad, okay? Demonic equals bad, just so everyone knows that. The wisdom does not come from heaven, right? Worldly wisdom it leads to selfishness and greed. If we have a worldly wisdom, what the world says is wise is do what's good for you. Get yourself ahead. Do the things that you need to in order to succeed, regardless of what it does for other people. Right? A worldly wisdom leads to selfishness and greed, putting me first, putting the me first. all of this, right, the wisdom does not come from heaven, obviously. It's earthly, it's unspiritual, it's demonic. And when you have envy or selfish ambition in your heart and in your wisdom, it symbolizes that there's some level of disorder. There's something going on in you. There's a disorder and an evil practice in your heart and working itself out in your life. All this, obviously, is a result of Satan working, the enemy working and scheming and giving conflict, which leading to disorder in this vile practice idea that we talk about. It leads to a frenzy of fighting. It leads to instability and restlessness in our hearts and interpersonal conflict. All this stuff comes out of worldly wisdom, right? So that's why it's important to ask and allow God to test our hearts, right? Check my heart, test my heart to see if there's any level of bitterness or of envy or of selfish ambition. And if there is, to allow God, like we talked about earlier, to create in me a new heart so that stuff is not there. Test your wisdom. Is it the kind that God talks about leading to humility, good works, good life? Or is it one that is earthly, it's unspiritual, it's demonic? Let's continue on and finish up this section. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. In contrast, we're back to the good kind of wisdom that God calls us to, right? It's kind of like this sandwich idea. The good, the bad, the good again, right? The good, so you might be asking again, how do I know? Like, how do I know what kind of wisdom I have? Like, what kind of life or whatever it is I'm living or I'm showing, right? Well, I think verse 17 and 18 answers that for us. A wisdom from heaven is a pure wisdom, right? It first and foremost is peace-loving. It seeks out to do the good to others, by others as well. It's impartial. It's submissive. It's considerate. It's full of mercy and of good fruit, like we talked about before. If all these things are stemming from your life based on what not only you know but what you're acting in, That would signify that there is a good wisdom happening, a godly wisdom happening in you, right? This type of godly wisdom is, first of all, pure. It's blameless, without fault, without blemish, which is the primary virtue to look for out of wisdom. The rest of those are all obviously good as well, moral aspects to look at, all stemming from this idea of peace, right? Peaceable, to have peace or to seek after peace, is the polar opposite of selfish ambition. Do you see that? Right? Selfish ambition, me, I'm first, I'm going out to seek peace, is to make sure that everyone else is good as well, to make sure we're all on the same page, that as far as it depends on me, to pursue peace with all people. Seek after peace. So my question would be, does this section of passage describe you? Are you seeking after wisdom that is pure, that is peace-loving, that is considerate, that is submissive, that is full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere? There's a wisdom, this idea of knowledge. You have head knowledge, but have you let it move into wisdom where it's actually acting out the knowledge that you have in your life with action, with movement, with things of that nature? See, there's a tale of two cities happening here. The realm of the heavenly wisdom, and which is, it comes from above, and it leads to peace, right? Versus or against this idea of human earthly wisdom, which is selfish in nature and leads to disorder. The question would be, what city are we living in? What area are we living in? What city are we striving to go after and to go towards? What wisdom are you seeking after? Verse 18, to finish up, uses an agricultural term here. Okay, peacemakers, those who seek after, promote peace. Farming, right? Anybody out here live on a farm? Well, okay, great. If we don't, most of us live in other places, but a lot of us live in the Midwest, right? So we know about farming and stuff. That's about where I'm at. I don't know much. But peacemakers who sow peace will reap a harvest of righteousness. Peace being freedom from disturbance or tranquility. That's what peace is. When you have the absence of any of those arguments or fighting of that way, disturbance or tranquility. There are lots of verses out there that speak to sowing certain things and being able to reap things because of that, right? What we sow, what we put down, what we give out, we also find and receive in response. The fruit that comes from peacemaking and seeking after peace wholeheartedly will be a righteous conduct that God is going to bless, right? When we sow in peace, we will reap harvest of righteousness. So even as we look around and see all the different kinds of violence and prejudice and sins and wars that are taking place, we have an opportunity, even with all that going on in our world today, we have an opportunity as peacemakers to sow peace, to put in peace and to receive out of that righteousness and blessing, right? So will you, again, the two kinds of wisdom, which have you been practicing or seeking out? Because wisdom is a lifestyle. You get to choose it, and it will determine certain ways that your life will go. You, sitting there tonight, have the opportunity, the responsibility, and the challenge to pray for the heavenly wisdom that God brings, that's selfless in nature, that looks towards others, that acts out of the knowledge of the and the wisdom that we are given from Christ, right? And is pure, that leads to a good life. All those things. God gives the gift of wisdom, right? He's the one that allows us to have that when we ask him for it and seek after it wholeheartedly. God gives us the gift of wisdom when we are born again as his children. And this wisdom we receive from God, it sets us, the same way it set Jesus, it sets us apart from the world because we look different from what the world says, what the worldly wisdom might tell us, right? We look different. For that reason, we're set apart. It bears fruit in our lives and it helps us live lives of peace, even in a sinful world. So tonight, again, we've extensively kind of talked about these two cities, this two kind of wisdom that's out there pretty extensively. So it's only right that we do some of the hard work kind of now in determining where are we at, right? Where are we currently living in? What kind of thoughts or wisdom do we have? So as we close, I want us to take some time to evaluate and to allow God to search our hearts a little bit. Overall, which of the two cities or kinds of wisdom are you living in currently? What are you pursuing after? Which one are you pursuing after, right? I want you to take a few minutes to actually intentionally stop and ask God, search my heart, like actually search my heart and reveal to me ways where I might be living a worldly wisdom or I might not be living in the godly wisdom that you're allowing me or wanting me to see, right? Reveal to us if there's any bitterness. Is there any envy? Is there any selfishness in me? Is there any disorder or evil practice there to take some time and listen to what it is he tells us after we seek him, when we seek him to reveal such things to us? The second thing then after we do that, I want you to respond in this way. And after you've allowed the Lord to search your heart, reveal any areas, ask God for wisdom. Asking the Lord for wisdom that leads to peace. Ask God for godly wisdom. Because again, it says it's not anything that we necessarily do. We seek after it, but God's the one that gives us wisdom as a gift, right? The wisdom that's pure, that's peace-loving, considerate, submissive, and full of mercy and good fruit, a sincere and impartial wisdom. So in this moment, again, this is just between you and God. So again, just I want this to be a time where you're just inwardly thinking and pursuing and figuring out what it is that God's teaching you and revealing to you in this place. Does that make sense? Like, this is not a conversational kind of thing. For the next 2-3 minutes, okay, I want us in this place to actually do those two things, right? To ask, to seek after where are we currently living, in what city, right, in what wisdom, and also then ask God, legitimately ask him, whether it's in journal form, in like a little letter to God, or it's in your head when you're praying to him, ask him for the wisdom that he gives us from God and from heaven. Okay, so let me pray for us, and we're going to respond just in a few minutes, and then we're going to let you go to have some conversation in your group.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.